are going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. That will be our text today. It will be a very difficult. I was struggling with this text this week. Let's pray before we jump into the God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love again, your revelation through your word. We are here today to taste your kingdom and your presence, your grace during the worship service. So ask your help. Would you please help us to understand? Would you please continue to bless me and as I'm going to present the gospel to your congregation, your people, so that we will all see your glory and your presence this moment. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. You will see the Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. It's page number 1198 from the Pew Bibles. If you'd like to open your Bibles, that's a ESV. That's our church using the ESV. If you have a different version, that'll be fine, but I'm going to read it from the ESV version. This is the Word of God. Therefore, just as a sin came into the world through one man, the death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like a transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Suppose you and your family went to a Best Buy store to buy a brand new 65-inch Ultra HD TV. I know you're not going to do that, but suppose to watch the football, Super Bowl or football, Thanksgiving football. Now, I already checked the price of a 65-inch Samsung Ultra HD TV. It's almost $4,000. Now, money is not an issue for you, a big trouble or problem for you, because you have saved more than $4,000 just for that particular Ultra HD TV. Very exciting moment. Now, you and your family are thrilled because you can watch the Super Bowl game on the big screen. Every little tiny detail, you'll get excited and screaming. Your family, friends will get excited. That moment is a great moment. So as soon as you got home, you open the box and to set it up, the brand new, the fancy and shiny Ultra HD TV. Now, after minutes later, you finish setting up the TV. your whole family and even your friends sitting in front of their TV and expecting fantastic and sharp images and showing on the screen. You push the button, something happened, the screen is still dark. Nothing happened. Now you turn the TV on again, try, push the remote on and other things, nothing happened. Try it again, nothing happened. No pictures, no signals at all. So you thought maybe you're gonna check all the connections or wires, and you did everything, still not working. Very frustrated at that moment. Now let me ask a question, maybe some questions about that situation. What would you do? What would you do with that Super Ultra HD TV? That's right. Would you like to keep it because it's so great and fancy, expensive, because it's still brand new? Or you're so angry about Samsung and just lift it up and then throw it into the garbage dumpster? I don't like it. Or, as Chrissy said, you just pack it and bring it back to the store. Return the TV to the store. Now, I can imagine that we can return the TV if that happened to us, because we are protected by the customer's return policy. Whatever it is, maybe 15 days and 30 days. When we bring the TV back to the store, what happened is they will give us the brand new or another TV set. Now then I have another question for you. How about our sins? Our sin, not sins. Are our sins returnable? Now, wouldn't it be awesome for us if we could say, hey, I don't like my sins. It's so nasty and smelly and stinky and disgusting and unholy what I did. I don't like it. I don't like them at all, so I want to return. I want to pack all my sins here, just dump it somewhere, and bring it back to somewhere. I know you are thinking right now, yourself, in your mind, and thinking, what? Hold on one second. How can I do that, return my sins? Theologically speaking, it's impossible. We can't do that for us, you know, to return our sins. You know, Paul declares in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, very clearly mentioned that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we cannot return. But think about it from a different angle. There's one thing that we have to think about, we might consider regarding the forgiveness of our sins. Although we cannot return our sins, you know, these disgusting things, our sins can be forgiven through God's mercy and grace in Christ. That is the hope that we have. Now, Paul is talking about that particular hope in Christ in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. That's what I'm talking about here. And he begins chapter 5 like this. That's not our text. I wanted to add that verses, but it's too long. But he begins like this, chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have a peace with God. Every single word is really, really important. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 1. Verse 2 is so powerful. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5, verse 1, 2. Now, Paul's teaching here, you know, we are not able to stand in front of God, the presence of God, because we are sinners. We are bringing all the dirty and nasty garbage bags with us all the time. Unrighteousness and unfaithful and sinfulness. But here Paul is talking about we are able to stand before God with all the stinky smells because our Lord Jesus Christ, through our faith in Christ. That is hope. Jesus Christ is our only hope. That is what Paul is talking about. That is a brief summary of chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Then, what's happening in our text? Romans 5, 12 to 21. It's an interesting text. A theologian says, I didn't know that this is true, but a theologian says, this is, quote, this is one of the most difficult and controversial passages to interpret in all of Pauline literatures. It was too late. I found this quote in the middle of it. Oh, too late. So let's talk about this text. Why this is so complicated. Now, Paul begins the word therefore again here. That means simply in chapter 5, he said therefore means all the chapters before 1 through 4, he's talking about therefore. Now, Paul explains how sin came into the world in our text today. The word S-I-N, sin. We don't like that. It's a difficult subject. It's an uncomfortable theme that we don't like to talk about it. If a pastor is talking about sin, sinners, we are sinners, let's pray. If we're talking about all the time that one, no one will come to church nowadays. People like to go to church that God will bless you. God will give you many, many blessings in your business, in your health. The word sin, it's an uncomfortable theme. But we have to listen. We have to give our ears to that particular text and sin. Here Paul says in verse 12, sin came into the world through one man, very clear, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because of sin. Now we know that this man means Adam. Now we know that Paul is talking about the origin of our sin, starting from Adam was the one who brought sin into the world. And then it's not the end of the story. Sin did not come alone. It came with a horrible consequences. One consequence, that is a death. Now, sin separates you and me, our relationship with God. That happened to Adam. But death separates us from God's presence. That happened to Adam. Now, Satan came to Adam and Eve with a temptation and lie. Maybe you can say temptations and lies. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve, both Satan's deception, or we can say deceptions. Because of Adam and Eve's sin against God, we are born as the children of sinners. We understand that. That's why Paul says in verse 12 today, death spread to all men because all sinned. Now about this particular verse, people think that sometimes people are struggling with this meaning. All sinned, really? And the concept of the original sin, it's very difficult to understand. And they're saying that, what about babies and toddlers and they are innocent? We cannot say that they are sinners. Somehow we can say it's true because babies and toddlers are innocent because they don't commit any actual sins against God yet. However, we have to understand that Paul is not talking about sins that we will commit in the future. In chapter 5, Paul is talking about sins that Adam and Eve, as our representatives, the representative of the entire human race, they have already committed. Paul is talking about that sin. And Luther said pretty much the same thing like this, quote, we are accounted guilty by God because of the indwelling sin inherited from Adam. A little bit different understanding, but same thing. And then Calvin says the same thing, since Adam was not only the ancestor, but the root of the human race. All his descendants are born with a corrupt nature, and that both the guilt of Adam's sin and their own inborn corruption are imputed to them as sin. Some difficult language is there. Basically saying, because of Adam and Eve, their sin against God, we are all sinners before God. No matter what, no matter how. Although we don't know Adam and Eve, we are born in a state of corruption. That's what Paul is trying to say and explain to us. To help our understanding, Paul repeats a couple of things in verse 12, 15, and 18, and 19. If you want to look at your Bible, it'll be fine with me. Paul repeats this teaching in our text today. In verse 12, Paul says, sin came into the world through one man. Through one man. In verse 15, many die through one man's trespass. One man. And verse 18, one trespass led to condemnation for all men. And one more, verse 19. Again, by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So with these verses, therefore, no one in this world, even you and me, no one can say that, hey, I'm clean, I'm not a sinner, I'm clean, I'm pure before God, I'm a good man. We cannot say that. I was looking at the internet website to get more information about the original sin. This is Ligonier Ministry. I know that our church members love to go to a Ligonier conference every year, so I look up the internet to find what they say. This is a very nice illustration and definition of the original sin. The doctrine of original sin teaches that people sin because we are sinners, and we understand that. It's not that we are sinners because we sin. That's important. It's not that we are sinners because we sin, but rather we sin because we are sinners. That is, since the fall of man, we have inherited a corrupted condition of sinfulness. We now have a sin nature. We are all sinners before God, whether you like to hear it or not. Sometimes I ask children, like a Balboa Elementary or other children that I'm associated with, the following question. If you commit a crime, children, what will happen to you? They usually say, we'll get punished and maybe we'll go to jail. And I say to them, yeah, that is true. The same thing is true for all of us because of our sins before God. We will get punished by God. That's the reality. And in our text, even says that is a death. Punishment is death. And Romans 6:23 says the wage of sin is death. Sin just came to us and disappeared. No, it came with a death, a punishment. That's what Paul says in verse 14 again. Yet death reigned from Adam and Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Just thinking about this condition of death, we feel frustrated. What? So we didn't have to die, but because of Adam and Eve, they were sin. Now we have to die. Death ruled and reigned us. Death is the result of Adam's sin, but now we have. Death is not theirs, but death is now ours, that we have to face, literally face, every day. We don't know when, because of Adam's sin. That condition is really giving us depression. We feel that's not fair, but that's reality. If people commit crimes, we know that they will go to jail or do something to pay for their sins. When they complete their sentence over their terms or what they have to do, they will be released from their duties. Now, like this, if we want to escape from this horrible death sentence, God's punishment, There is one way. We have to pay for our sins. We have to pay for it. And if we are able to pay for our sins, that will be great. And surely we'll be free from God's eternal punishment. I think that is one of best options that we might think of. But the thing is, here comes another challenge. We cannot pay for our sins. So many things attached to us. The one day I read a very interesting article regarding a man who mercilessly killed a woman. Maybe you know a similar story like this. Do you know how many years this man got sentenced? The judge sentenced him. The judge sentenced him to 99 years in prison. I thought about 99 years in prison. That doesn't make sense. It means after his death, he was already an old man, but after his death, he has to stay in prison. He can't get out of that situation until he finishes his sentence, 99 years. Now, if a man gets 99 years of sentence for his murder, now if he has to stay in prison after his death and to stay there for his crime, now think about it, how long would it be our sentences for our sins against God? Would we be able to pay for our sins? No, it's impossible. That's another horrible situation. Then another question, can somebody pay for our sins? Because I love my kids, I love the children, and I can say, oh, you know what? I know you are sinners. I want to die for you. That's okay. No, it's not happening. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2 says, God's wrath and judgment would be eternal. And also Bible clearly teaches that no one can pay our sins because they are not perfect. They are sinners. We might try every possible way to erase and to return our sins because we want to be more holy and more righteous. There is no way for us to think about that. There is no way to escape from this horrible condition, God's judgment, death. We, not somebody else, we have to finish our sentence. There's no way to finish our sentence. That is reality. We have to finish it, but there is no way to finish it. That's why it comes at the Heidelberg Catechism question and answer says, I think that's a 16 explained. It says, God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin. But a sinner could never pay for others. Just thinking about up to this point, it is our dilemma. We cannot handle this situation. We want to return our sins. We don't like it. We just feel disgusting. We want to just go back and turn back and come to God and ask His forgiveness again. But disgusting, there is no way. We want to erase our sins by ourselves. There is no way. We can't do that. There is no return policy for our sins. So just thinking about that condition, there is no hope. We are living in a horrible situation because of our sins, sins of Adam and Eve. Now I want to change the view a little bit here. Now Paul's argument is not about the wrath of God. You are sinners, you will get punished, and God's punishment will be there. His point is not there. Although we were born as sinners before God, there is the way to escape from the reign of death. Now, Paul is directing us to there. Now, Paul says in 15, but the free gift that relieves our burden in our heart, free gift is not like the trespass, for If many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift. By the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I believe that this one particular verse will be enough for us. And Paul repeats two words here. Free gift twice. He continually repeats the word gift and gift in verse 16 and 17. Here Paul is trying to remind us of God's gift. Jesus Christ is the gift from God that we have. Jesus, who is perfect in divinity and humanity, and then truly God and truly human being, He died instead of us as the substitute for our sins. He did it. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 explains like this. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now Paul is helping us to see not only our sins, but the gift, free gift, God's abundant grace, the forgiveness of sins, renewing our lives in Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is priceless. His death and resurrection is priceless. It's the gift from God and it's free. That simple sentence makes you and me very humble. It's a humbling moment before God. Because we know that we are not able to pay for our debts. We cannot. We are not able to escape from the wrath of God. We feel every day the guilt and misery of our sins. We feel there is no hope if we were looking at only ourselves. But here God brought us the true hope, Jesus Christ, free gift. That's why, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Christ died while we were sinners. Think about that text. Christ died, still we were sinners. He is the way. He is the only way. In verse 16, Paul says again, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Through Him, we have obtained access into God's grace. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Through Him, Jesus Christ, we will be able to stand before God. That's amazing. Think about that particular expression. We will be able to stand before God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received the reconciliation, the power of God's grace. Adam's sin brought us death and condemnation, the wage of sin. But Jesus Christ cleaned everything, brought us free gift, life and justification. That free gift that you and I have today. That is awesome. That is the power of the gospel that we have. God's justification. Righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to help us to understand, to save us from our miserable situation that no one could help us. Even I'm not able to escape from there. In conjunction with that particular text in Heidelberg Catechism and question and answer 17 says, if you want to look at the great hymnals, they'll be fine. Question and answer 17 says, by the power of His divinity, He might bear the weight of God's anger in His humanity and earn for us and restore us to us righteousness and life. The word restore that brings us hope. Let's think about the question that I brought to you at the beginning of my message. Are our sins returnable? Theologically speaking, no, there is no way to do that. We can't. We can't reverse our sins. Sins are with us all the time. But from the Romans chapter 5, there is a way. Not us, but God is able to do that. Jesus Christ did it for us. The beauty of reading Romans 5 is to read Paul's in comparison to between two men. You are not able to do that. You are not able to do that. But one man, in verse 15, many died through one man's sin. The grace of God through one man. Verse 18, condemnation through one man. Justification and life through one man. Verse 19, we are all sinners through one man's disobedience, but righteousness through one man's obedience. That one man, we know him. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul concludes his teaching from about one man and Adam and Eve in verse 21. He says, as sin reigned in death, now grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you still remember my last week's sermon. It was about God's covenant, God's promise, His promise in Christ. We are the ones who have received God's covenant and His promises in Christ. And although we are not able to return our sins, we have God's promise, God's covenant in Christ. That covenant makes us, everything is possible. Simply saying, we don't have anything, we don't have any proof of returning our sins, but God has the return policy in His hands, His covenant. So now we can declare, although we don't have anything, we can declare to Satan, the original seller of our sins, we can declare to him that now we are not under the law or sin anymore, but we are under God's grace, under Jesus Christ, His mercy, that we have to do that. I know that Satan still will attack us, will not stop attacking us. And Satan will just tempting us every moment. But we have God's promise. God is holding that return policy in His hands. Therefore, in any circumstance, you're facing so many difficult moments, we can say, we will not get discouraged. Because we know that God will not abandon us. As Paul describes in Romans 5 and 20, where sin increases, now grace abounded all the more. When we face more challenges and difficulties in our lives, we remember that because of the one, the man, Jesus Christ, is with us, next to us. Abounded in all the more. God's promise, His grace will be with us and with our church. At this moment, I would like to invite you, take the gray hymnals and open to the Honorable Catechism question and answer 18 and 19. I believe it's page number is 866. Thank you. Question and answer 18. Then who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time a true God and righteous man? Can you read an answer? Question and answer 19. How do you come to know this? Now, I want to challenge you again this morning. It's our turn now. Since we know that we have Jesus Christ, it's our turn to tell people about the free gift. Jesus Christ. So many times we think that, oh, that is not our job. Maybe that's weird. We're too shy to open our mouths and talking about Jesus Christ. But we know that we received the free gift, Jesus Christ. People out there, they don't know about what's happening. Since we know the truth, since we have the truth, since we have the free gift, now it's our time, our turn. We have to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the people out there, they have to know. As Paul says, Romans 5:21, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul's teaching from Romans chapter 5. Just looking at ourselves, there's no hope. There's no way. But if we look at our heads, or lift up our heads and look at the cross, we know that Jesus Christ solved the problem. We receive the free gift from you, Lord. Would you please encourage our brothers and sisters here at New Hope Christian Reformed Church, not just only listening to this message, but carrying this message to the world, to people out there, saying that Jesus Christ is the only answer and He is the only one solution for their lives and their sins. Give us this courage so we can carry your mission to the world. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.